Hello, I'm Kimberly Dondo, Digital Content Manager, and welcome to In Conversation With, the podcast series that delves into the world of financial services and brings you face-to-face with some of the most notable figures in the industry. Listen as we discuss topics that are currently facing the industry and hear from visionary CEOs to disruptive innovators as we bring you a diverse array of voices and perspectives. We'll explore the challenges they faced, the lessons they've learned, and the insights they have to share about the ever-evolving landscape of financial services. Hello and welcome to In Conversation With. I'm Kimberly Dondo, and in today's episode, I'm once again joined by Mike Coop, CIO at Morningstar Investment Management. Thank you for joining me again, Mike.
My absolute pleasure, Kimberly.
So for those who might not have listened to our last episode, which if you didn't, go back and listen for sure. But could you give us a bit of an introduction into yourself, Mike?
Sure. So I grew up in New Zealand and worked in various countries around the world, including Australia and the UK. Started my career back in 1987. But the role I've got now is just super exciting, trying to help advisors with their clients. And we do this work both in the UK, but also globally.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So going on that, I wanted to know, given the current climate, given the current market climate, what are some key investment themes or areas you believe financial advisors in the UK should be focusing on for their clients?
Yeah, I think it's really important to stay long term, mm-hmm. to resist the temptation to change your strategy midstream. Mm-hmm. And last year was a good example of that. We had a lot of focus on, should I move all my money into cash?
Yeah.
Around about the middle of last year, because interest rates had increased, the markets had been pretty lackluster up until that point. And anybody who did that missed out on what's been a pretty significant rise in the value of equity and bond markets since. So it's just a reminder once you've got a strategy in place that's right for you, to stick to it. I think that's the first thing. I think the second thing is to kind of focus on what's important and knowable, mm-hmm. when it comes to investing. Generally speaking, politics isn't really one of those things. And secondly, even things like the next wiggle in the economic cycle, exactly how much interest rates will change next time they change, when that will happen, those things, it turns out people aren't really very good at forecasting. So I think try to focus on the fundamentals rather than these other things that are very attention grabbing, but aren't going to provide you with good insights on which you can build a strategy. And the third thing is, remember, there's always a right price for any investment. So valuation matters.
Yeah. And with a technical recession looming or having already happened, what strategies can advisors use to help mitigate risk and protect their clients' portfolios?
Yeah, I think obviously compared to 12 months ago, when there was a great expectation of a recession, mm-hmm. In the US and elsewhere, that just hasn't happened. So we've had weakening economic activity, and it all goes to show how tough it is to be able to forecast these things. So mm-hmm. when we build portfolios, we think it's probably better to start off with the assumption that it's going to be hard to really forecast these things accurately. But what you need to have is investments which can perform in a variety of different economic environments, some of which might seem even quite implausible today. So in the case of recession, what we typically tend to find is the best time to buy assets that do well in recession, which is, those assets tend to be things like bonds and defensive equities. The best time to buy them is when no one's thinking about a recession. It's when there's a boom on, and effectively that's what we've done previously, but those are the sort of assets. Having a diversified multi-asset portfolio, high quality government bonds, and there are certain sectors like utilities, healthcare, consumer staples that perform much better and can reduce the impact of recession on your portfolio.
Right. And how can advisors navigate the current inflationary environment and help clients make investment decisions while considering the impact of rising costs?
So it's really a almost the other side of the coin from the last question in a way. So the inflationary environment, well, firstly, don't forget that generally speaking, companies do have some degree of pricing power. And so equities do okay, mm-hmm. unless inflation is super high. Second thing is inflation-linked bonds are a good asset to hold as a bit of an insurance policy against extreme inflation. The issue there really is the extent to which central banks raise interest rates. But because they've already done that, there's less fervor for them to raise interest rates if there were another inflation. So we think inflation-linked bonds look pretty good. And as I mentioned, there are particularly individual companies within equities that also have pretty good pricing power. And they can generally pass on any inflationary costs to their end clients. And so those things tend to be good things to have in your portfolio if you're getting inflation.
Mm-hmm. And beyond market fluctuations, what are some unforeseen events or surprises that clients may encounter? And how can advisors prepare them for such scenarios?
So, by definition, unforeseen events and surprises are things that no one's really thinking about, or things that seem super unlikely to happen. Mm-hmm. I think it's really a case of thinking about clients being on a journey to meet their investment goals so they can fulfill their lifestyle aspirations. That mm-hmm. is something that is with you your entire life. It changes as you go through different stages of life. And the goal of investment is to build up your assets and grow them so that over time you can reach those. So I think measuring success in that way is a good tactic to avoid getting distracted by things that come up out of the blue. And the other thing is to expect a range of outcomes. So markets fluctuate, and so your portfolio investments will fluctuate. But generally speaking, they'll be moving up over time. But there'll be some periods where they'll come back a bit or perhaps rise a lot faster than usual. So trying to have that expectation, I think, and stay anchored on achieving the goal helps in not overly reacting to things that come out of the blue.
Mm-hmm. And communication is also key in this. So what strategies can advisors employ to effectively manage client expectations and ensure they're comfortable with their investment plans, even during times of volatility?
Well, this is really where advisors are just so valuable for clients. All those behavioral biases that we know we're all prone to, which generally don't help us when we're investing. So things like recency bias, where we tend to assume that what's happened to us is much more likely to happen in the future than it probably really is. Mm-hmm. Being overconfident, taking comfort in mass opinions, even if those opinions aren't actually right, and looking for things that confirm what we already expected. So because of that, advisors having regular contact with their clients to be able to put into perspective any events that are happening, pretty quickly as those events happen. And this is something that we put a lot of time and effort into because we think it's a really important part of that relationship management that advisors have with their clients. So a pretty immediate response when there's a material event happening to give people comfort, put it into perspective. There's various mediums as well that people can deploy. And whilst COVID showed that people are quite receptive to having a video presentation, mm-hmm. I think sometimes in a state of stress, there's nothing quite like a face-to-face or a phone call. And there's many other mediums for people of different generations that work better for them in terms mm-hmm. of the way that they receive information. So all of those things, but it's really just providing comfort, particularly around those periods when you're getting shocks, and being able to have that long-term plan and goal to say, you know, you should expect this sort of range of outcomes, and communicating when things are moving away from that so that they can understand the next strategy or step they need to take.
Yeah. And I wonder what role technology can play in all of this as well.
Yeah, so certainly it saves people having to physically go somewhere to be with someone and can make it far more convenient and therefore far more immediate to have a video call So that certainly is something that is used a lot more widely than it was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think people appreciate that. There's clearly no substitute for people catching up face-to-face, but it's a little bit horses for courses because you know, some people do use other mediums much more to get their information and may want to be communicated in that way too. I'm not suggesting that advisors should suddenly all jump onto TikTok and find information that way, but to be fair, you know, these we should be open-minded about using all the different ways to reach people. So it's really a case of what's right for the person you're dealing with.
Yeah. I mean, I would say get in front of those people on TikTok because I think there's a lot of dangerous information sometimes that's being spread on there, especially when it comes to financial services. So I'm always encouraging advisors to just hop on. Don't be scared to make a fool of yourself. You're not going to. You'll find your audience. But you talked earlier about politics and how you shouldn't pay too much mind to it when it comes to your portfolio because, you know, these changes happen. But I did wonder, looking ahead to upcoming worldwide elections, how do you anticipate the political landscape potentially impacting global markets? And what advice would you give advisors in navigating this uncertainty?
Yeah, and as multi-asset investors, we're seeking really to take out some of that volatility in our client portfolio returns by providing things that can diversify against different outcomes. Elections generally in developed markets don't tend to have major and lasting impacts on the things that really matter to investment returns, which is things like inflation, the level of interest rates, the growth in the economy, and how companies can grow their profits and then hand some of that to you as an investor. The biggest changes have tended to happen while governments have been in power rather than straight after or during an election. There have been a couple of pretty notable things that have happened in the past, things like the US coming off the gold standard in 1933 and 1971. We also had, you know, significant changes in privatizations, in corporate tax rates in the 80s, which ended up providing more opportunities to investors. So those things certainly need to be considered as they evolve. The thing about politics, though, is the high degree of uncertainty. If you think back over the last 5 years, 7 years, the shocks include the Brexit happened at all, that Donald Trump was able to get elected the first time, that Putin invaded the Ukraine. And often it's just the way that politicians and policies evolve in response to circumstances. So things shift all the time, and whatever people might be saying ahead of time isn't necessarily what they end up doing. The other thing I'd note this time around is if I look at the elections, we've got a pretty tight-lipped Labour Party in terms of its economic policies. And seeking really to portray themselves as pretty fiscally responsible. They're not going to go out and spend loads of money and have a lot of debt. And that's a million miles from the sort of extreme, more extreme policy settings we were hearing when Jeremy Corbyn was running the Labour Party. What that means is it's unlikely that we're going to really see dramatic shifts in economic policy as a result of the UK election. In the US, there's considerable uncertainty in just who's going to be the next US president because the difference in the polls is really pretty small. So it's a small difference in the polls. And then if you were to see Donald Trump becoming elected as president again, well, actually quite a few of his policies from last time are still there. So some of the tariff increases, the corporate tax changes, and to some extent, we sort of know what we're getting in terms of his style of, sort of say, management. Well, it's more chaos than management most of the time. So the areas where that could be different is any rollback on the checks and balances that apply to someone in that role as president. But many of the economic policies have already been done. There's speculation about whether there could be bigger tariffs on countries that are perceived to be unfriendly to the US. China has been put forward as one. And that opens up a whole series of other possibilities in terms of action and reaction. But it's really in the realm of pure speculation at this stage. And so people shouldn't really take this as a key consideration. If you've got a well-built multi-asset portfolio with different types of asset classes that behave differently in different economic regimes, you have good geographic diversification. Mm-hmm. These are the things which mean that you're less sensitive to any significant shifts. Actually, what really tends to be more useful is market pricing. So when market right. pricing becomes extreme, typically markets can somewhat be overconfident in how likely something is to happen. And mm-hmm. when you get extremes priced in, then that gives you a more useful signal as an investor, rather than trying to guess what may happen on the politics. So I think it's something to be aware of. We track it closely. Mm-hmm. It's important to understand what's going on, but it's a flimsy foundation for you building an investment strategy.
That makes sense to me. And finally, Mike, as we conclude, what are some key takeaways or final thoughts you would like to share with our audience as they navigate the current market environment and help their clients achieve their financial goals?
Yeah, so I think it's that, you know, stick to the knitting, which is basically, firstly, your goal is what matters.
Mm.
Don't focus on the ups and downs of the market and ask, have I done better or worse? Are you reaching your goals? That's mm-hmm. the key thing here. And if you've had good advice, then you'll have a good strategy to deliver success for those goals. So that's the first thing, I think. And a good, you know, the portfolios that we build for our clients, multi-asset portfolios we build, are designed to deal with a whole range of different scenarios because we live in an unpredictable world. So you have to build portfolios that can handle an unpredictable world. So that's mm-hmm. really important, just stress testing things. And I think the other thing is, if you're going to get good outcomes for clients, you've got to be able to look far and wide for investment opportunities. So a global approach is super important to mm-hmm. be able to do that. So you need to partner someone who's got that capability because the days are over when you could just make sense of the world from sitting in London. You know, you need mm-hmm. to have eyes and ears everywhere. So I think those things, at the moment we particularly like assets that are some of them that are very out of favor. And so it's mm-hmm. all about not going with what's popular, but going what is, you know, priced to give you a really good outcome mm-hmm. and having that diversification in your portfolio. Those two things are really mm-hmm. important.
Fantastic. Well, once again, thank you for joining me, Mike. And I hope we can keep doing this on a yearly basis. And I look forward to speaking to you again.
I'm sure we can, Kimberly. No, it's always a lovely opportunity to talk to you. And I hope we're able to help those who are dialing in. And I look forward to our next catch up.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to In Conversation With. We do hope that you enjoyed it. Please do keep up to date with all our new releases via Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else you get your podcasts from. You can also keep up to date with all our new content published on the Money Marketing website, as well as our print edition Money Marketing magazine. So make sure to subscribe. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next time.